We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday. It's April 9th. It is 2024. We have an 11-game baseball slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Joined today by my good buddy, Keith Eister. Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much. I had a nice break from the NBA content on Monday with the national championship for college basketball going on. So that was nice to not have to do any content for NBA. On Monday, with at the end of the season here, it can get a little bit cumbersome, you might say. But MLB going well, sweating some lineups here on Monday night, but big slate here on Tuesday for us.
Yeah, really interesting slate Monday night. Like, gosh, on a lot of the right things. Just I don't know if I have enough of them together. So it's just an interesting slate. So we'll see how it kind of shapes up. I mean, got a lot of the pitching right. Like Turnbull pitched well. Paxton started kind of shaky, but he kind of settled in and he pitched pretty decent. He's gonna end up like I feel like he's gonna end up okay. Anderson's off to a pretty solid start. We'll see how that kind of shapes up. But yeah, I mean, didn't play any Darvish and he's kind of getting beat up a little bit, so that's nice. Berrios pitched really well. And honestly, I didn't end up playing a lot of Zach Eflin, which looks like it's going to be solid here. So, and honestly, it's not that I didn't like Eflin. It was more of like, I just didn't end up on him. I think I built eight teams on DK today, and I think he was only on one team that I built. So, you know, that might actually play into my benefit a little bit here. So, and hopefully Darvish got some ownership because I didn't play any of him either. It'd be good to see him get beat up a little bit. Hope everyone's having a fantastic Monday night, enjoying the Purdue-UConn game. And Nimmo did go ham. I have a really good Nimmo team going on FanDuel that has Marsh and a lot of innings left. So, unfortunately, that was one of the Luis Castillo teams that I had, and he didn't do a lot on FanDuel. So, what's up, YouTube? Hope everyone is doing or having a fantastic night. Keith, we got 11 games. We need to get into it, man. We got a lot to talk about on this slate. We enough dilly-dallying around. We got Miami at New York facing the Yankees. AJ Puck, Carlos Rodon, 8 total in this game, and the Yankees a 190 favorite. Let's talk AJ Puck first. I mean, this guy just was like the darling of spring training. Everyone kind of liked what we saw in spring training, the velocity, the strikeout upside, the whiffs, and just is yet to show it. Really struggled in his first start against Pittsburgh, bounced back with he struggled again. And I watched a lot of the Angels games. Like I say this on the podcast all the time, but local, I get Rays and Marlins games. So like I'll have them up on the TV when I'm watching MLB TV on my second monitor and watching a lot of that start. And like, he's just struggling with command if you struggle with command against the Yankees, you're going to get beat up. Any interest here in AJ Puk?
Yeah, I think he's a really talented pitcher, but like you said, it has been a rough start to the season. I still think there's talent here. Like the strikeout, like the walks, we knew those were going to be a problem, but even the strikeouts have not showed up, which I really thought the stuff would play. You mentioned the velocity's way up there. The slider is really good too. So I still think he's going to be okay. It's a tough spot here against the Yankees. I'm just afraid that the start that I jump off is when he's going to go ham and like strike out 10, because I do think he has that type of stuff. At 6,700, I'll probably take a couple of shots on him just because he's so cheap, but tough spot for him against a lot of Yankees power.
Yeah. The stuff is there, and I think the stuff is good, but like when you have stuff and you're still struggling to command it, like you're always worried about that. Let's get through, you know, the next six or seven games, and you know, I think that, you know, we'll see how it kind of shapes up. And what did I didn't even, because that game wasn't on the slate today, I didn't follow it very closely. I know Lizardo had like one really bad inning. Yeah, he had a really bad inning. He struggled with walks in that start too. I don't know. This lineup is scary against lefties, man. Torres, Judge, Stanton, like right off the bat, Volpe's good against lefties. Like I think I'm on the fence on Puk. I like the price tag and the potential, but man, I'm really worried about the command. And then on the other side of this game, Carlos Rodon against the Marlins. We watched Nestor Cortes kind of throw a gem on Monday against this team. Is there any interest here after we watch Cortes, who's kind of average to dominate this team on Monday?
I cannot do it with Rodon. I don't know where the strikeouts have disappeared to. The command has not been good either. Like, he's just not the same pitcher he was. I need to see it before I even attempt it with Rodon.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same train. It's just, man, you look at this lineup and it is bad against left-handed pitching. Yeah, I don't think I'll do it. I think there's still enough righties here. And he's just, like you said, the strikeouts have just kind of disappeared. He does strike out lefties still. But yeah, I mean, I think overall I'll probably pass. Let's talk about bats. Anything here for the Marlins that you like?
Some interest, just because Rodon does have the control issues that I mentioned. Berger is the guy that stands out as somebody I definitely want to play. Don't even mind him as a one-off. I think that's a really solid play, in fact. Josh Bell just doesn't have power from the right side. Arise and Chisholm are lefty-lefty. Timmy Anderson is not exciting to play these days. Yeah, it's a bad lineup against lefties, like you said. So I don't think I'm stacking, but I do like Berger as a power one-off. Brian De La Cruz would probably be the other guy. Whoever's catching, they're both cheap. So don't hate those guys as one-offs, or play like two of them just hunting home runs.
I hope Fortes catches. He makes a lot of contact with against left-handed pitching. So like when you have a guy like Rodon on the mound, Fortes is a guy that could really take advantage of a matchup like that. And no, he hasn't had like the strongest start to the season, which is a little concerning, but I mean, that's also got him down to where he's like 2,500, and I don't mind that. And honestly, I don't want to play Bethancourt. So I think Fortes has a much higher ceiling than Bethancourt. So Yankees bats. If Puck's not on, man, this is definitely a stack you want to have some exposure to today. We're going to talk about Arizona against Cal Quantrill, and they're going to be the popular stack again. They're going to be that top owned. I don't know if I say chalky, because like even on Monday slate, like I didn't think they were going to be like massively high owned. And like you look and they're like 10 to 15 in most contests. They're not like getting massive amounts of ownership, and there's a lot of bats on the slate. What are your thoughts on the Yankees?
Yeah, I have interest. I mean, Puk has struggled out of the gate, like we just talked about. So there's a lot of right-handed power in this lineup that I am interested in chasing. Judge is phenomenal, obviously. Gleyber Torres has hit lefties really well. Stanton, obviously. I probably won't pay $6,000 for Soto. Just he walks too much for like to find that upside all that often. Puk has dominated lefties in the past. So even though he struggled a little bit, I'll probably leave Soto out. Volpe is solid. Rizzo's cheap enough. I don't even hate him lefty-lefty, but similar to Soto, like the upside's limited since he has to face puck at least one or two times. But yeah, like Judge, Stanton, Torres, Volpe even, really, really solid.
All right, we got Seattle at Toronto. 8 total in this game. Straight pick 'em. George Kirby, Chris Bassett. I mean, I agree with the pick 'em line here. We'll go to George Kirby here first. Any interest in Kirby in this matchup?
I just don't think this is the spot. He's up to 9,400. Toronto's a low strikeout team. I love George Kirby as a pitcher. I think he's really, really talented, but this Toronto offense is just, it's tough to find upside. If he was 8,800, I might have some interest in chasing it, but he's one of the more expensive pitchers on the slate. I think there's actually quite a bit of upside in like the 8K range here on the slate. So I'll probably leave Kirby on the shelf.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of interest in Kirby unless we like open up lineup HQ and he's like 5% projected owned. Like if he is a guy that's going to be low owned, he's much better against righties. This lineup is going to have 6 to 8 righties. Luis Castillo had a dream spot here with 7 righties and he kind of struggled. So, the struggle is potentially there. Don't get me wrong, but it's definitely going to set up better for him if he does get 6 or 7 righties in this lineup. So the thing I love about Kirby is when he's on, he's on. So if he is going to have low ownership, he's a guy that can throw 6 or 7, 8 strikeout innings and not give up anything. So, and the other thing that you like about George Kirby in general is the dude just throws a lot of strikes. He doesn't get behind in counts, and even against a lower walk rate team like this or a lower strikeout team like this, his upside is 7 plus innings if he's pitching well. So Kirby will be on my list to check like ownership throughout the day tomorrow. And if he's not getting any ownership, he might be somebody that makes my pool. Bassett has been awful to start the season. He struggled in spring training and it really just has kind of carried over. He faced Houston last start, got absolutely pummeled. And he faced Tampa, and like Tampa's offense is not even anywhere close to where they have been over the last couple of years. What are you doing with Chris Bassett in this high strikeout matchup against Seattle?
Yeah, there's upside because of the strikeouts, but similar to how I felt about Berrios on Monday night, they're too left-handed heavy. Like he struggled a ton against lefties last year. Seattle rolled out 6 lefties against Berrios on Monday night. I'm guessing they do something similar here against Bassett. For that reason, I think I'm out.
Yeah, I think I'm out on Bassett as well. I liked and I played some Berrios just because like the lefties that they do have in there and some of the righties have good strikeouts, but Bassett is a lot worse against lefties than like Berrios is, and like we've already seen the struggles, and like I think I'm out. Let's talk bats. I kind of like the Seattle bats today. I don't expect the Seattle bats to get a ton of ownership. And I mean, Crawford, what is going on with Crawford? I mean, this guy is hitting the ball a lot harder than we're used to. JP Crawford's not like this power guy, but like the dude's hitting the ball hard when he's hitting it. He's striking out a ton, but when he's hitting it hard. That is not something we've come to expect here at all. What are your thoughts here on the Mariners bats?
Yeah, it's the lefties, and Crawford is at the top of the order is definitely in play. He's still cheap at just 3,900. Polanco, I think, very much in play. 4K, weak second base position, although Kettle Marte is in a pretty good spot today. Cal Raleigh is probably my favorite catcher on the entire slate. Moreno for Arizona would be great too. Didn't see his price yet. But Raleigh at 3,700, big-time power. Bassett really struggles with lefty power, so love Raleigh at the catcher position. Rayleigh is a guy with big power. He's cheap. I like him. The other bottom of the order, like Canzone, I'm probably not chasing that cheapest stuff, but top of the order lefties, even middle of the order, I do like quite a bit.
I think they're a great secondary. I talked about this yesterday. I built a lot of 4-4 stacks on Monday slate. This big slate, I might end up doing that a lot again. Especially on FanDuel, I always typically 4-4 or 4-2-2 is like my main builds on FanDuel. I don't build a ton of 3-3-2s over there. The Toronto side, even though like I don't necessarily know right now if I want to play Kirby or not, I I definitely don't think I want to play these Toronto bats. Like Kirby, I respect Kirby enough and what he's able to do as a pitcher to not want to pay these prices for the Toronto bats.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you there. Kirby will give up a home run or two. He has a fly ball tendency, so I don't hate chasing home runs. I'm absolutely not stacking against him. But trying to find a home run in there, like Justin Turner's a guy with big power at 4,100. Vlad's under 5K. Bichette's, they're all under 5K. But yeah, there's no chance I'm stacking. I don't hate using them as one-offs. I think a cheaper power righty is probably what I would look to. Turner's the one that seems to fit the build best. Springer's in there too.
All right. Derek, are you in chat? I need your boy Donovan at 3% owned here in the bottom of the 10th to give me something special. Tie this game back up. Let's go, Donovan. Mets, Braves, 9.5 total in this game. Atlanta is a 188 favorite. We got Hauser and Lopez facing off against each other in this game. Adrian Hauser, 7,500, pretty cheap price tag. I'm not playing him today against Atlanta.
Yeah, no, me either.
Not overthinking this one. Very, very, very easy spot to fade. The other side of this game, we got Renardo Lopez, who, I mean, against the White Sox, he had a really solid, I think it's a solid is a good word to put it. Obviously, like we talked about the first start with him, Atlanta saw something in him as a starter, and, you know, they made him a starter. I like the Mets when they get outside of Citi Field, especially against right-handed pitching. I talked about this yesterday, and, you know, one of the reasons that I'm potentially going to have a decent night is because I have Mets stats. I don't know what to do with Renardo Lopez today because, like, we didn't see dominant swinging strike stuff against a really bad White Sox lineup. And I think the Mets have a better lineup than the White Sox. And I mean, I think so for sure. But what are your thoughts here on Lopez?
Yeah. I mean, I do think the 8,000 price tag is a price point where you can take shots here. I'm a little bit concerned about the leash. He threw 82 pitches in the first one. Obviously going from bullpen to starting, you're concerned that he can throw like 95 and up pitches. So I think we're going to see like mid-80s pitch count for him, at least for the first part of the year. And that limits his upside. So against a team like the Mets who don't strike out a ton, there are pitchers that I like more, a couple for just a few hundred more. So I don't know that I'll need Lopez. On a different pitching slate, I'd be fine with it, but I don't think this is a spot necessarily.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think that I know we really haven't talked about too much yet for pitching, but I really do feel like we have some really solid options on the slate. And I just don't know, like, if Lopez is going to fit the build for me today. I kind of like the Mets bats again. I kind of want to go back to Nimmo. I kind of want to go back to like Lindor and Alonso and Beatty. I played some DJ Stewart. He hit a bomb. Like, I think the Mets are another team that, like, I kind of want to get some secondary stack exposure to on the slate.
Yeah, I'm definitely with the mini stack. Nimmo is still cheap, 4,100. Beatty's really cheap at 3,100 and Stewart's 2,900. So like that little three man right there is really cheap. Of course you can always spend up for Alonso with his power. Alvarez is a cheap catcher as well. So I don't hate the full stack. I don't think I'll have a ton of it. But the mini stack I think is where it's at.
I mean, this game is at 14 runs right now on Monday night, and it hasn't slowed down at all, I feel like, since it started. I mean, Braves against Hauser, this is definitely a spot where they're a top-end stack on this slate. They're expensive. It's really hard to like your pitching and like your Braves stacks here. So Hauser against righties in that first start looked really good. He was awful against lefties. I don't know how much I really want to put too much weight into that, thinking about like the Detroit righties. I think the Braves are a top end stack. You know, you're gonna get some Braves exposure today for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you need Braves exposure every day, especially against a below average strikeout pitcher. So load them up. I think 1-9 is in play. Arcia would be my least favorite. If Kelnick's in there at the bottom of the order, again, I love that. You get the lefty at the bottom that you can wrap around to the top with all the studs. Like, absolutely love that. Michael Harris is still way too cheap, 4,400. And then obviously the big guys, Acuna, Olson, Riley, Albies, Ozuna, Homer again on Monday night. Like, yeah, they're one of the top stacks on the slate for sure.
You remember the beginning of last year how like Ozuna was almost released and how we were awful. Like, and like, he's like, all right, I remember how to hit again. And he just hasn't stopped since then. So off to, what is he at, 5 home runs now? I think today was his 5th home run. So watch out for Ozuna. Houston at Kansas City, 8.5 total in this game. Houston, a slight favorite here at -126. Christian Javier against Cole Reagans. Let's go Christian Javier first. One thing that we've already noticed from Christian Javier this year is he is throwing his changeup way more than we've ever seen. You know, we saw it a lot in the Yankee start. We tried to take advantage of it in the Toronto start. The dude just couldn't throw a strike. Like, I watched that game. I tilted that game. They couldn't hit him, but he would not throw a strike. What are we doing with Javier here against Kansas City?
Yeah, I think there's upside here. Kansas City isn't a huge strikeout team, but there's enough swing and miss in this lineup. Javier's been really inconsistent. Going back to even last year, all season, he was inconsistent. So it's not a comfortable click. I wish he was a little bit cheaper, but I do think there's some strikeout upside here. I will probably have him in the pool, but again, not one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, he's a guy that I'm definitely interested in. I mean, the walks and the command, though, really concerning. Because now, like, we're going from playing in, like, a dome to playing in, I mean, an outside stadium where you're going to have a little bit more gunk on your hands. And, like, if you're not getting a grip inside. So, I don't know. You kind of want to hope that you get a bounce back here. The price is really intriguing at 8,300. The matchup's intriguing. I mean, Kansas City's not really scaring us, let's be honest. Cole Reagans, me and you have been on this guy, I feel like, for months. You were on it. You sold me on him and his strikeout stuff when he came over, and we just haven't stopped. Tough spot. Houston is a tough spot for lefties. We're going to get Reagans at pretty low ownership today if we want to attempt to do it. What are your thoughts here on Cole Reagans' first look?
Yeah, I literally just said on Grinders Live on Monday that I do not play left-handed pitchers against Houston. Boy, we're going to test that theory today, aren't we? Because Cole Reagans is, I just believe that he's an elite pitcher, like easily a top 10 pitcher in baseball. I think he's like pushing top 5. That being said, Houston doesn't strike out against lefties. They have massive power. Their two best hitters are left-handed, but they're lefties that just absolutely crush left-handed pitching. So very, very tough spot for Cole Reagans here. If he was 9K, I think it'd be easy. I would say just take this one off. We'll come back to him the very next start. At 8,200, I could see a world where he gives up two or three home runs and still gets like 6, 7, 8 strikeouts. Like, I know Houston doesn't strike out a ton, but Reagan's stuff is that good. Like, I've been on his repertoire since he came over to Kansas City. I'm going to play Cole Reagans today. It's not comfortable against Houston, but 8,200 is just too cheap for this guy's talent. I hate the matchup, but I'm going to play him.
I hate the matchup too, but I think he's like a 1-of-3 type play for me today. Like, I want some here. I'm with you when it comes to just playing the talent in tough spots. Like, talent shows up in these tough spots. So like I've been saying it for, I feel like for a lot last year, I feel like this guy should never be under 9K. Like he's shown elite strikeout ability and he's just too cheap. And like the advanced stats back it up. It's not like this dude is like going out there and getting lucky. Like his advanced stats are fantastic. So yeah, I mean, for me, I'll probably have him in 1 of 3. I think he's at least earned the fact that like in a tough matchup, we can take a shot on him.
Yep. If there's a 4.5 strikeout prop that gets dropped, you're going to see that one written up on Scores and Odds for the over.
I'm in.
5.5. I'd have to think about, but 4.5, I feel pretty good about.
I'm in. Let's go. Houston bats. They're expensive and I respect the talent enough where I don't want to do it. And, dude, I hate the Padres. They're my least favorite team in baseball. Anybody wants to know least favorite team in baseball? They are swinging at pitches not even close to the zone against Javier Assad, and it's I want to throw something. I have no interest in the Houston bats. Do you?
No, I just think that Reagan's the stuff gets him out of jams. I just don't see a world where he gets blown up, and there's a lot of elite offense on this slate. That's in good spots. We just talked about Atlanta, Arizona's in Coors. Like there's plenty of spots to go for offense. I don't think I need to try to pick on Reagan's.
Yeah. And then like the Kansas City bats don't really appeal to me at all. They're not like, I mean, outside of Witt and Perez, they don't have a ton of power in this lineup. What are your thoughts on the Kansas City bats?
Yeah. I mean, you want lefty power against Christian Javier and like, they have some, like, I wish Vinny Pascantino would live up to his reputation because this guy was supposed to be really good and we just have not seen it out of him. I don't know if I can keep chasing it at this point. Like, he's been awful.
We've been waiting for him to show up. I feel like we've been waiting for him to show up for a while.
Yeah.
Ever since he got called up.
Yeah, absolutely. MJ Melendez, I will say, is cheap. I don't hate trying to chase a home run there. Kyle Isbell is the other guy. His power hasn't really shown up yet. He was a highly regarded prospect coming in, but I think I'd prefer Melendez for 500 more than Isbell, but don't hate either of those lefties. But simply chasing a lefty for a home run in the spot.
All right, Dodgers and Twins, 8.5. Dodgers are 186 favorite. Glasnow against Varland. You know, Glasnow is someone that I've kind of been iffy on. I played him a lot last start just because of how the slate kind of shaped up. Him and Javier. It was him and Javier. I think I played them on every team I built the last time they were on the slate. I think I'm willing to pay 10-1 for Glasnow after seeing him throw 100 pitches in that Giants game. Like, the pitch count was concerning. Now that he's touched 100, he gets an incredible strikeout matchup against the Twins. I think Glasnow, I think he's the top pitcher on the slate today. You know, obviously he's expensive, but I think he's worth the price of admission today.
Yeah. I will say I have interest in paying up for offense, so I don't know how much I'm going to be able to get up to Glasnow. Absolutely. Yeah. Raw points, top pitcher on the slate. No doubt about it. It's just how often can we afford him? The strikeouts haven't necessarily shown up yet with the Dodgers, but I have a feeling they're coming in this start. Talking about strikeout props, if they hang a 7.5 for Glasnow, I'm going to be all over that over. Strikeout rate's only 22%, 22.7% this year, but I truly believe he's elite of elite strikeout pitcher. He's been above 35% before last season, 33% last season. But I mean, this guy's, the strikeouts are coming with this guy, and it starts today against this Minnesota team. They struck out at the highest rate in baseball last year, and they're like third most this year. So tons of strikeouts in this Twins lineup. I think he's worth paying up for. I'm just not sure how often I'm going to be able to do it.
Yeah, strikeout prop is a great point here. I'm on Glasnow. The swinging strike rate stuff is there. Like the first start against the Padres, his swinging strike rate was super low, but the next two starts against St. Louis and San Francisco, it was kind of right on par with what we want it to be. So again, seeing that swinging strike stuff and looking at some of his movement and stuff like that, like, I'm in. I think everything you want to see from Tyler Glasnow right now, we're seeing, and the results are going to start coming, and I think they start coming in this spot. So, I mean, he's sitting at 96.5. His slider looks great. His curveball looks great. This is going to be the spot. This is the spot we're going to attack Tyler Glasnow and attack these strikeouts. So, yeah, I mean, I love Glasnow today. Hitting is definitely important. We're going to talk about Zach Wheeler. I think, like, if you want to build, like, a really strong, hey, I'm going to build around these two pitchers in, like, a cash game type of format, and you want to build around Glasnow and Wheeler, no one should talk you off of that. If you can make it work with the bats, these two guys are just – both of these guys are just in phenomenal spots, and we'll talk about him in a second. But it's actually in the next game we talk about. The other side, we got Louis Varlin. Yeah, Louis Varlin. He's a major league pitcher. He gets to face the Dodgers today. Otani's warming up. Mookie Betts hasn't stopped hitting. What are your thoughts here on Louis Varlin?
Yeah, there's no chance. 7,800, he'd be overpriced in most matchups. But against the Dodgers, there's no chance I'm touching him.
Yeah, even in the limited sample that we saw him last year, it just wasn't good. So, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are another stack you could pay up for today. We saw them off to a really strong series here in Minnesota, and no reason not to have them outside of pricing. I mean, if you can make it work, the Dodgers are great. It's good to see Outman hit a home run. Like, he had a lot of pop in spring and, like, kind of started the season slow. It was good to see him hit a home run on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, again, like the Braves, you just play this offense every single day, no matter the matchup. This happens to be a really good matchup. So every one of them absolutely in play. Love the Outman call. Too cheap. 3,700 still.
All right. Minnesota Bats, any interest in them?
No chance. Not against Glasnow.
Yeah, not playing them. Jung Ho Lee might be a guy that's just really good. It stinks that he's on the Giants and, like, he's in that ballpark, but gosh, that guy, he makes contact. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. Side rant. Philadelphia at St. Louis, trying to stay on track since we have so many games today. This game has a 7.5 total. We got Zach Wheeler against Sonny Gray. Philadelphia is a 126 favorite here. Let's talk Wheeler. Cardinals have been off to a really bad start, and this is his third start of the year. So, like, we've seen him go from 89 to 93. I think 95 plus pitches is definitely in the possibilities here. And I mean, it doesn't get much better than facing the Cardinals when you're a guy that really overpowers right-handed hitters.
Yeah. I mean, with as many aces as are hurt in baseball, Wheeler is in the conversation for best pitcher in baseball. Like, he's that good. Not afraid of the matchup against the Cardinals. Like, they're really struggling to start the year, and they're striking out a bunch too. So love the spot for Wheeler. A little bit cheaper than Glasnow as well. I will have quite a bit of Wheeler, I think.
All right. So Sonny Gray, this line throws me off. Like, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to go bet that. What did I just say? It was minus 126. I'm going to go bet that Philly written down.
For the game, why is Philly minus 130 here? Like, what?
Like, yeah, when I wrote it down,
they should be minus 200. Sonny Gray's on a pitch count. 65 pitches expected for Sonny Gray. How on earth? Like,
it's moved a little bit, but even at 135, I still want to get down on the Phillies here. So I'm sorry to mess with your game, but
jumped off the page to me too.
Yeah. So Sonny Gray, like you said, he's not throwing 60. He's throwing 65, and like his last like workload was like a simulated game. It's not like he's thrown 50 plus pitches in like a game setting. Like, I don't know. I don't have any interest in him, obviously, from everything that we just kind of said. I'm guessing you're kind of in the same boat here. Like, Sonny Gray, when he gets ramped up and he's good to go, we'll play him for sure. But I don't want to play Sonny Gray in this kind of scenario.
No, he's fully priced. You're only getting 65 pitches out of him. I don't think you can touch him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Bats, Philadelphia kind of, I mean, they kind of let me down. I mean, they somewhat were okay, but they kind of let me down on Monday. I'm not going to lie. Any interest here in the Phillies?
Sonny Gray's first start, so I don't hate taking some shots here. They're definitely not my favorite offense. I do think Sonny Gray's a well above average pitcher, even at this stage of his career. Strikeouts have been kind of hit or miss for him, but I still think he's above average. So I don't love Philly. Just outside of him, it being his first start of the season, maybe you take a shot there with like one full stack out of 20 or something like that, but no real interest here.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in this one either. Like, the problem, I don't know. I hate attacking like games we know that are going to kind of be bullpen situations against a bullpen that's been okay. Like, they're looking at the stats for the season, it's very small sample size, but they've been like very middle of the road Cardinals bullpen. So like, you're getting Sonny Gray is a good pitcher, and then you're getting a bullpen that is good enough where, like, I don't know. I hate attacking bullpen situations when the bullpen's solid. Like, the Rockies or the Marlins, like these bullpens that have really struggled to start the season. Oakland's bullpen last year. Like, you tell me I was getting a bullpen game against Oakland last year, I'd stack every single which way. So it's just different right now. Cardinals bats against Wheeler. I got nothing for the Cards today.
Nor do I.
Yeah, too many good bats on the slate to be talking about the Cardinals bats today against Wheeler. Oakland at Texas, 9 total in this one. Texas, a 215 favorite. Alex Wood, Nathan Eovaldi. Any interest here in Alex Wood?
He is really, really cheap. So like, he's probably the cheapest playable pitcher on the slate. It's a disaster spot for him against Texas. He's not going to go deep into the game. He did flash some strikeout stuff in the last one, but I don't have interest here. It's very similar to the 4K guy on Monday night. You're only doing it because of what it allows you to do in the rest of your lineup, but I don't think I will be doing it.
Yeah, no interest for me in Alex Wood. I do have interest in Eovaldi. Like, he's just a guy that eats innings. He has some strikeout ability. Oakland stinks. The problem with like Eovaldi is like he's still in that price range where like you kind of want him to be a little bit cheaper to get some of these bats in there, but I think he's a very good quality pitcher on the slate.
Yeah, I love Eovaldi in the spot, obviously, against Oakland is phenomenal. 8 strikeouts in his last one, got over 100 pitches as well. And he's a guy who has routinely threw 100 pitches when he's healthy. So I think the leash is really long. He may not need it in this start against Oakland. The Rangers could be up big, and then they end up pulling him after 85 pitches or something like that just because of the lead. But I do think that the ceiling is great in this spot. Oakland strikes out a ton. Eovaldi looks to be in good form, and the pitch count being there, I'm in.
Yeah, overall, like I said, I think he's just a quality option on the slate. I got no interest in the Oakland bats. Like, I think there's times that I'll take some shots on, like, Zach Gieloff. I think he's a really good quality hitter. He's just on the wrong team. I just don't know if this is the spot I want to do it.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to attack Eovaldi.
I like Texas. I mean, they're a potential team that flies a little under the radar today just because, like, we have so many good stacks. They're not cheap. So I think my boy Wyatt Langford's going to hit his first home run today.
Love that call. I was going to say the exact same thing. Awesome call. Yep.
I got to get it in there, and I'm going to keep saying until it happens. But he's a Gator. I followed a lot of his career, and I'm hoping that he gets the job done. But, yeah, I like Texas. The Texas stack very much in play for me today.
Yeah, Langford at 4,100 against the lefty, like, he's, as far as, like, point per dollar goes, he's among the top hitters. Like, I absolutely love him today. Jonah Heim, a guy you can always play against lefties as well. Texas, just a really solid stack. Wood has shown command problems often in his career. So really like Texas. Garcia, Simeon, Seager's under 6K, so I don't even hate him lefty-lefty. I don't expect Wood to be around long in this one. So if he only goes 4 innings or something, Seager gets probably 2 or 3 at-bats off the bullpen. So don't even mind Seager and any other lefties that are in there.
Yeah, and I've talked about this quite a bit. Like, Wyatt Langford, very early in his career, it's a very small sample size, but only 16% soft contact. This dude is hitting the ball hard. Like, it's going to eventually, he's hitting 53% fly balls with 80% contact that's either medium or hard. It's going to eventually happen. So you look at some of this stuff and you're like, dude, this is a guy that you think is very potentially going to hit 25 plus home runs in his rookie season with the upside to hit like 30 and be like a consistent 30 home run guy in the majors for the next 10 years. So it's going to start happening. And like Seager, man, nobody's playing Seager lefty lefty at this price tag. Don't forget Seager when you're stacking Texas today. All right, let's go to Coors. Arizona at Colorado, 11 total. Arizona 184 favorite, Merrill Kelly, Cal Quantrill. I will say the Zach Gallen experiment didn't do too bad. His strikeouts really kind of helped him finish over 20 fantasy points. He won't get a win or anything, but like the way this slate is shaping up, like Turnbull had a good game, Berrios had a good game, but like I don't know if you're necessarily like mad about 20 fantasy points from your pitcher on us on Monday slate. So I think Zach Gallen kind of worked out. I think I want to go back to Merrill Kelly. Keith, like $8,400 price tag is a fair price tag.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. Gallen was one of my highest owned pitchers on Monday night. I just think this Colorado offense stinks. Like, I don't care about Coors Field when there's like they don't even have more than three major league hitters in their lineup. So I'm going back to attacking pitchers in Coors, or like going with pitchers in Coors, which is something I rarely do, but it might happen a lot more often this season. Anytime we have a talented pitcher against this bad, bad Rockies offense, I'm in, especially if they're going to keep pricing them down. Like, Gallen is a $9,200 pitcher on most slates. So $8,200 was just way too cheap. I feel similarly about Kelly. I don't think he has quite the upside that Zach Gallen does, but he has upside at $8,400. I know that.
He dominated this guy, like this team in Arizona, the first start of the season. I just absolutely dominated them. And that was in 79 pitches. Like, he's going to throw more pitches than that. So I'm going back here. And Cal Quantrill is the worst pitcher on the slate. And he's pitching in Coors against one of the best offenses in baseball against right-handed pitching. Don't play him today.
Not going to go well for him.
Yeah. Arizona, they're top stack on the slate. Like, I know we said that, and they're not like going bonkers or anything here on Monday night. Game's not over yet. We got three more innings in Coors. Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Colorado bullpen, not good for anybody that's curious. Cal Quantrill stinks, man. Like, he's a guy that just doesn't miss bats. And like, I want every which way for Arizona here. Like, I don't want to overthink this. If I can fit him in, I'm going to fit him in. They're going to be the highest exposure team I get exposure to today, especially if they kind of burn people here on Monday. Like, the field has gotten sharper, and Sims and all that stuff has made the field sharper as well. But I still don't want to overthink like Cal Quantrill and Coors. Like, let people get burned, and I don't want to overthink this spot.
I think you made a really, really good point there. With elite offenses like the Dodgers and the Braves, the Rangers, and like all of those offenses in good spots, it's not like we're talking about like 25% owned Corbin Carroll. He's going to be like 15%, which I'm totally fine with that. So I will be overweight on Arizona. They're the top stack on the slate. I think it's good chalk. They're certainly going to be popular. I just don't think they're going to be to the levels that we've seen in years past, because people are going to want to get exposure to the other elite offenses. So love Arizona, 1 through 9, stack them up.
I'm glad I liked Blake Snell on Monday. I'm really glad that I didn't end up on him a lot. He only threw 72 pitches. He threw three innings. Strikeout stuff looked good, but only 72 pitches. Really struggled throwing strikes. He only threw 39 strikes in 72 pitches. So glad that like I prioritized bats a lot more in that on Monday slate, and didn't end up on a lot of Snell. I don't know if I built any Snell teams. Maybe one or two. Colorado bats. I love a low-owned Colorado stack. I mean, one of my teams that's doing the best on DK tonight is a Colorado team. So had some good secondary pieces, but any interest here in the Rockies bats?
I mean, you can always stack them when they're in Coors, but I don't love it. I think your guy, Nolan Jones, is definitely my favorite option. Big power guy, 5,100 in Coors. Totally fine with that. The stack is uncomfortable because once you get past like even like Brian is too expensive for what he's been over the last like year and a half. Like, he just hasn't had the same power as he had back when he was with the Cubs. Like, Jones, McMahon, Charlie Blackman's never a comfortable click. And once you get past those four, it gets really uncomfortable. Tovar has some talent as a young guy, but it's not comfortable. You're only doing it because it's in Coors Field. I think Kelly wins this matchup, so I won't have a ton, but maybe one or two hedge stacks off my Kelly exposure.
I'm going to play Kelly a little bit, so I definitely want to think about playing some Rockies bats. Tovar, I like him. I really like what I've seen from Blackman so far. Like, he's not a guy that's going to get you a ton of like power, but he's making a lot of contact right now, and I think that's really good signs. And Ryan McMahon's making a lot of contact. If Ryan McMahon stays healthy, he's a really solid hitter. So if Merrill Kelly is struggling in this spot, I kind of expect it to be those guys, right? Blackman, McMahon, Tovar, my boy Nolan Jones. I'm with you on Chris Bryant. He was on one of my stacks today just because. But, man, he even his home run that he hit was, like, right over left field wall, like, right next to the foul pole. Like, it wasn't, like, this booming shot. So I don't know.
Look, I love the guy, obviously won a championship with him in Chicago, but man, he's not good at this point.
Speaking of Chicago, Bellinger, bases loaded, one out. This would be ask Keith. I said right when we started talking about Monday slate, I was like, dude, I really need Bellinger to go yard. This would be a great time for Bellinger to go yard. Tampa Bay at LA taking on the Angels, 8.5 total. Rays a 126 favorite. Yeah. Savali against Patrick Sandoval. Any interest here in Savali?
I had a ton of interest in Savali. Eflin was my highest owned pitcher on Monday night because of the spot. It's not going well, but that's all right. I'm going right back to it because I don't think the Angels are good. I think they're going to strike out a ton. Savali was a completely different pitcher after getting traded over to Tampa. Strikeout rate was around 29%. Haven't seen quite the same level this year, but I mean, there's still strikeouts there. He's just a different pitcher than he was in Cleveland. Tampa Bay has a way of getting the most out of their pitchers. 7,700, way too cheap for this matchup with the Angels.
Yeah. And the thing that like worried me a little bit when I was like looking into Eflin today, and again, is very, very like small sample size, but like he just hasn't had that like dominating pitch yet to right-handed hitters this season. And they had so many of them. And that was the thing that like just turned me off enough. Right. And that's just not the case with Savali. Like Savali, he's been great against righties to start the season. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm in on Savali as well. I like the price point. You know, if we're going to prioritize bats, I like the price point. Patrick Sandoval on the other side of this game. I don't think Patrick Sandoval is a good pitcher, but I like him today. If I'm willing to play Tyler Anderson against the Rays, you could bet your butt that I'm willing to play Patrick Sandoval against the Rays. Are you with me? Are you telling me I'm crazy? What are your thoughts here on Patrick Sandoval?
I don't know that I would have said I was with you before the show, but when we were talking about playing Tyler Anderson pre-show, I was like, you did? I was impressive, and he looks pretty good. So I have to take a closer look at Sandoval. I will say the price point is very intriguing. I'm not a fan of Patrick Sandoval. I don't trust the strikeout stuff. He walks too many guys. But the matchup against Tampa, especially the way they've looked early against lefties, I think I have to have a little bit of interest here just because of the price. I don't like him as much as you do, but I'm intrigued.
Oh, I don't know if I want to say like I love him by any means. I like the price point and I like the potential ownership, and I love how bad the Rays have been to start the season against lefties. I pointed all these stats out yesterday. I'll point them out again really quick. 27% Ks against left-handed pitching this season. That's top five in baseball, and their ISO is under 100. They've hit one home run to start the season so far against lefties. And I mean, Tyler Anderson, I've been watching the game. He's just been pounding the strike zone, and they're just not hitting him. So if Sandoval can come out here and throw strikes, I think he could pitch well here. So he's, again, like a guy that's probably like a one of three. I'll probably build more than three teams on the slate for what it's worth. But I'm definitely going to have a little bit of Sandoval here just because I think Tampa really struggling to see the ball against lefties right now. And I don't know if it's going to continue all season, but I mean, you pull up plate IQ and just look at just lefties for current season, and it's not pretty. Let's talk bats. With all that said, any interest in the Tampa bats?
So I do have interest in a few select hitters, and I probably have enough to find a stack because, like I said, Sandoval does struggle with his control at times. Like, paying up for Yandy Diaz is not something I often do. Paredes is probably my favorite bat to look at, 4,900. Big power against lefties. Harold Ramirez. Curtis Meade got the start ahead of Brandon Lau because of the lefty. I assume they do that again. He's 4,100. Like, none of these are comfortable. Ahmed Rosario, like, I don't know, not a ton of power there, I don't think. So per 80's one off, look, chasing a home run is probably my favorite play, but I don't know. I probably will have at least one stack of them.
Cubs going off. Yeah, Darvish out of the game really early today. Love to see that. My concern
today. Yep.
Yeah, my concern with Tampa in this spot is they have a lot of ground ball hitters, and like Sandoval will induce ground balls. So, I mean, gosh, it lines up so much like Anderson to me, like just looking at like ground balls and stuff. And Anderson generates some ground balls, even though like his last year he was more like fly ball tendency stuff. But like, trust me, Tyler Anderson throughout his career has been more of a ground ball guy. I don't know. I like the Diaz call. I like Paredes. Paredes is always someone that I think you could play as a one-off. He's just expensive. And like, I don't know. And then like Mead's 4,100 on DK today. Like, I think he was really cheap on FanDuel yesterday. So maybe he's cheaper on FanDuel today, but this price tag on DraftKings, I just feel like I'm going to find so many options that I like more than playing Curtis Mead. Washington at San Francisco. Moving on. 8 total in this one.
You want to talk about
Angels bats. Angels bats. Sorry.
I mean, we don't need to say much, but
Mike Trout and Tyler Wart. There you go.
Done. Yep, done.
Hey, Trout looks healthy. If he can keep this up, you know, he's one of the best hitters in baseball when healthy. So it's just eventually, like, at what point do you start saying, like, all right, Mike Trout's healthy, I need to pitch around him because there's nobody else that I have to worry about around him? I mean, that is going to be my concern about him all year. I will say I love the fact that they hit Moniak second on Monday. Like, he's off to a really slow start, but we saw him flash some brilliance last year and have some upside. So if he bats second again, he's 3,200. On teams that I'm not playing Savali, I might get a little exposure to him in this spot just because he's so cheap. And we're going to be searching for some cheap one-offs on this slate based on how many good stacks there are today. Now we'll go to Washington, San Francisco, since Keith rudely interrupted me. 8 total, Giants a 175 favorite, Josiah Gray, Kyle Harrison facing off against each other. Let's go to Josiah Gray first. Any interest here in Gray?
The Giants love to platoon, so they're going to load up the lefties against Josiah Gray here. I do think there's upside for him at this price in certain matchups. I think there's going to be way too many lefties in this San Francisco lineup, and he obviously really struggles with lefties, so probably don't play him today.
Man, the Cubs are doing their thing. Love to see it. I only have Bellinger on my really good team, but it's climbing. It's climbing. I love when teams are climbing. I like when I'm making more money. Love if Trout went to Philly. I think that would be fun. That would be fun. Gosh, that lineup. You add Trout to that lineup, and that's a really scary Braves-killing lineup. Any interest here in Harrison at 7,600?
I do. Washington doesn't strike out much, but they swing a lot. They especially early in counts, which helps a guy like Kyle Harrison, who really struggled with his control in the minors. It's been actually better in the majors. The strikeout stuff has not shown up yet, but I think it's coming. This is a very highly touted prospect. Up to 87 pitches in that start against the Dodgers. He didn't get beat up or anything. He wasn't outstanding. He gave up 4 runs. 4 strikeouts in 5 innings. So that's what I'm like. The strikeout stuff is not quite what we expected, I would say, as an elite prospect. But I do believe it's coming. I think he's going to miss plenty of bats. He's had 2 really tough matchups to start the season against the Padres and the Dodgers. Washington doesn't strike out that much, but they're not good hitters either. So I think he can get a little bit deeper into this game with about a strikeout per inning, and the walks shouldn't be an issue because Washington doesn't walk. So 7,600, I think, is a very fair price. I'm interested.
Yeah, I like the price point for sure. Again, like, we do have some options in this range, so I don't know.
I like Savali a lot more, but I'm gonna have Harrison too.
Yeah, Savali, Harrison, Sandoval, like those are the three guys that I'm kind of looking at in this range going, all right, maybe I just kind of share or like spread out my exposure and be okay with like playing a little bit of all of them more than like saying, hey, I'm going to load up on playing just one of these guys. I don't think that's the slate for me. Washington Bats, any interest here in Washington?
I meant to check something earlier and forgot to do it. Kyle Harrison had ridiculous reverse splits last year. Like he K righties like at 30 something percent and like barely ever struck out lefties, because I feel like I want to chase right-handed power here against him, but I don't know if those splits are real. They were not that extreme in the minors. And it's obviously really early in the season. So I'm just looking it up here real quick. Strikeout rate this season. Okay, 36% against lefties, 14% against righties. So complete mirror image of what it was last season. That seems more like the type of stuff that he has. And it feels like he should be a traditional splits pitcher. So just wanted to check that real quick. I think you could chase a home run here. It's not like the Nationals have a ton of it. Lane Thomas has been incredible against lefties since last year. So he's certainly the first look. Riley Adams is a cheap catcher with power. If he's in there, I certainly don't mind that. But I don't think I necessarily want to stack Washington. I don't know that they have enough upside. If you want to find three righties to string together and make a mini stack, I'm fine with that. But I prefer the Harrison side of this. Just I don't hate Washington righties.
Yeah. Lane Thomas, someone in chat said that Trey Lipscomb had a big day. Like, hey, just in Blake Snell, still really easy to see off of. Like, didn't even think about that yesterday. Brain farted on that one. I like the catcher situation here. Riley Adams is always someone that I like playing against lefties. So yeah, I mean, I could get behind taking some shots here for sure. Other side, I mean, I played a lot of the Giants on Monday's slate, and I feel like I'm going to be playing Giants again today. Like, they're cheap, and they did exactly what I kind of thought they were going to do when I talked about it on Monday. They just kind of work on some expensive stacks, and they're not going to be a team that goes out and gets you a ton of home runs, but they're going to put the ball in play here against Josiah Gray a lot.
They might hit a couple home runs off Josiah Gray, the lefties in particular. It's just a massive problem for him. Jung Ho Lee, like you said, I think he's just a good player. I have interest. I'm not sure how much power he's going to have. He's a very talented hitter. He's probably more of like a 20 to 25 home run guy than a 30 to 35. But I definitely like Lee. I wish Michael Conforto was healthy, because I would love Conforto in the spot. Yastrzemski has struggled a ton, but he's still really cheap. I don't mind some shots there. Lamont Wade is fine. It's the lefties. I'm chasing lefties here. I like picking out power bats more than I like stacking them, I would say, but I'm fine with either.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see if Conforto pinch hits today. You know, they did say that he's available to pinch hit. They might just kind of be giving him a day. Again, like a minor side issue screams like, hey, you started the season super hot. You've cooled down a little bit here in that Padres series. Let's give you a day, and we'll get you back out there tomorrow in a great spot against Josiah Gray. So if Conforto's in the lineup, I'm very interested in him. Had to switch some stuff around with him out of the lineup on Monday. But, yeah, I mean, Conforto is by far my favorite play if he's in there. But Jung Ho Lee, Soler, Yaz, I mean, there's a lot here for me when I'm looking at the Giants. And can't wait till they get on the road. I feel like the Giants are going to be that team for me this year. The Giants and the Mets, when they're on the road and good ballparks, I'm going to play a lot of these teams this year. All right, we finished it out with your Cubbies. Drew Smyly, Joe Musgrove, no total in this game. Potentially an opener situation for Smyly. You know, right? Like, they want this guy to come out of the bullpen. So potential, like, opener situation, probably why we don't have a line.
I think what's going to happen here, if Drew Smyly starts the game, Ben Brown's coming in for bulk work after Drew Smyly. They're just going to piggyback those two guys. Okay. Like, Smiley's going to go as deep as he can. As soon as he gets into trouble, Ben Brown's going to come in for 2 to 4 innings, like whatever is needed. But those two, they're like, that's how they're covering the loss of Justin Steele. They don't necessarily have another starting pitcher ready to go, but between Smyly and Ben Brown, they're going to like make one.
We saw Ben Brown actually pitch really well against Colorado. He still only threw like 52 pitches. I don't know he's minimum salary is 4K. Padres don't strike out a lot, except for against low strikeout pitchers, Javier Assad. So, I'm not tilted. Sorry, I promise.
Man. Sorry, man.
Do we, since we do start with the Cubs here, do we have any interest in Ben Brown at 4K?
I didn't realize he was 4K.
Yeah, like on DK, he's 4K.
This, San Diego doesn't strike out, man, unless it's against Assad, like you said. Ben Brown's really good. The curveball, he's one of the Cubs' best pitching prospects. He looked good against Colorado. San Diego is not Colorado. I feel confident enough that he's going to pitch that I don't hate the idea. Man, I think I'm talking myself into this. I knew the situation. I just didn't even think to look at the price. At 4K, I don't think Smiley goes more than four innings. So I think Brown has upside for four innings. At 4K, can he get a strikeout per inning against the Padres? Is basically what I'm asking. And get me to 12 points. I have a little bit of interest, I think.
Yeah, 12 to 15 points at 4K on this slate is massive. Yeah. And the other thing that
might be the way that you could get an elite pitcher like Wheeler or Glasnow with elite bats too, is to play Ben Brown. Man, yeah, I'm kind of talking myself into this.
Well, the other thing that is, somewhat appealing in general here is with Smiley starting this game, they might leave out some of these lefties. So you might get a little bit more righties in this lineup too. So that's always helpful. Again, they're not a very high strikeout team, except for Javier Assad. Overall for me, I think I'm interested. Gosh, man, knowing that I could potentially get a Dodgers or or Arizona stack with Wheeler or Glasnow because I'm tempting. Playing. Yeah, it's super tempting. We've already talked about prioritizing bats at the early part of the season is never a bad idea. So. You're not typically getting guys going for 40 plus fantasy points at pitcher this early in the year. So unless you're Blanco. I think I'm okay with potentially playing some Brown here. Hey, Joe Musgrove's pitching in this game too. Let's talk about him. Any interest in Musgrove?
I think this Cubs offense is pretty good. They've been top five to begin the season. I talked about that on Grinders Live today. They're deep. They don't strike out a lot. I don't know. Musgrove struggled a ton. Everybody was on his under strikeouts in that last start against St. Louis, and St. Louis turns out isn't that good. So he pitched really well in his last start after a rough start to the season. I think Musgrove, when right, is a very good pitcher. I don't know if I'm interested in picking on this Cubs offense right now. There are a lot of pitchers in the 8K range that I like. I like getting up to Glasnow and Wheeler as often as possible as well. I don't think Musgrove makes my pool today.
I'm not playing Musgrove. I'm not overthinking this spot. I literally, when I researched this slate, I probably have 10 pitchers written down. And Musgrove wasn't one of them, and I don't need to add him. His strikeout rate's at 18.5% to start the season. I will say his swinging strike rate is really solid, so there's definitely some positive regression coming to his K numbers, and we kind of saw that with St. Louis. But, I don't expect Musgrove to go out and throw 95 pitches. And, the Padres had to go to the bullpen kind of early against the Cubs on Monday, so maybe they extend him a little bit here if he's pitching well, but... if he's not pitching well, there's nothing I want to do with Musgrove here. So, yeah, I'm out on Musgrove today. Just looking in this price range, just looking at it from the outside looking in, Eovaldi, way better for me. I'd rather pay up for Kirby. I'd rather go down to take the strikeout upside for Kelly. I'd rather play Javier. Musgrove's just not making the builds for me today. Bats, Cubbies bats. I'll let you be biased, and then I'll tell the people what they really want to hear about the Cubs.
I don't have a ton of interest. Like I said, I think Musgrove's really good. So I don't hate chasing home runs here. Bellinger's my first look there. Happ, I don't hate. Morel is too cheap still for his skill set. He's got the power and the speed, only 4,200. Certainly don't hate that. Suzuki is 4,400. The Cubs are still a little bit underpriced, in my opinion. if it was a different matchup, I'd have a lot of interest, but Musgrove is still at least slightly above average, even if he's fallen off a little bit. So I don't have interest in stacking, just trying to look for a home run with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Bellinger on FanDuel was really cheap. I don't have FanDuel pricing up for tomorrow's slate yet, but if Bellinger is still cheap on FanDuel, like him a lot over there. Hap, Suzuki. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the top half of this lineup here. I think they're okay. I definitely prefer lefties against Musgrove. I don't mind righties either, but I definitely prefer lefties. Musgrove gave up more power to righties. I think the platoon is better here for the bullpen's sake. Padres bats, it's a weird situation. Like when you're looking at, yeah, Bellinger 3,200 on FanDuel. I like him a lot over there again. Yeah. He was a guy that I loved as a one-off yesterday on FanDuel because of his price. So just happens to be on my best team. So, hey, Bellinger, let's get a bomb. We need a belly bomb. Is that what they call it in Chicago? We need a belly bomb.
Yes, sir. He's only been up with the bases loaded twice.
Hey, he's done well with both times. He scored points. That's fine with me. any interest here in the Padres bats?
Yeah, I mean, you have Drew Smyly, and then you have a young kid making his, second or third major league appearance. So, yeah, I have interest in the Padres bats. I know they are very, very frustrating because there's so much talent in this lineup, and even today they're just getting shut out by Javier Assad. It's very frustrating to roster them, but you have to take their upside into consideration. Drew Smyly has long had a home run problem. You're certainly chasing power bats here, at least. I don't even mind the full stack. Ben Brown, who's expected to follow Smyly, had massive control problems in the second half of the season in AAA last year. So if he comes in, Smyly gets hit around a little bit in the first three innings, and then Ben Brown comes in and he just can't find the plate. All of a sudden, it's looking pretty dicey for the Cubs from there on out. So I have a lot of interest in San Diego, actually, full stacks.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Hey, there's options today. There's options. Who do you like to get some strikeouts today?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one for me is Aaron Civale. Just love the matchup against the Angels. Different type of strikeout pitcher since coming over to Tampa.
Yeah, I debated on this one between Harrison and Sandoval, and I think I'm going Sandoval. I just continue to watch the Rays struggle against left-handed pitching, and I actually think Patrick Sandoval has a little bit more strikeout upside than Anderson. And what did Anderson have, like three or four strikeouts? So Anderson pitched really, really solid. I don't expect him to come back out, so I don't feel like I'm jinxing him anymore. So three strikeouts in seven innings, three hits, one walk. He's at 88 pitches. Maybe they let him come back out. All right, moving on. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I mean, that's obvious. I feel like that's cheating. He's on a pitch count, so that doesn't count.
Okay. I was going to let you have it.
I mean, if you let me have it, that's the answer.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think Sonny Gray, even on 65 pitches, has the potential to score 15, so I don't feel like that's cheating too much. I'm going to go Bassett. Don't forget about Seattle today. I know we talked about a lot of good stacks today, but don't forget about Seattle. Bassett has really struggled to start the season. Over 4K to hit a home run, not in cores. Who is going yard today? I forget who I picked yesterday. I don't think he hit a home run, though. I picked Olsen. He didn't hit a home run, so there you go. Brandon Marsh did. He was my cheap play.
I just talked about Smiley's home run problem. I'm going to go Fernando Tatis to get one off Smyly.
Oh, you're calling the first inning home run.
First inning, yep.
You're like, not even – Keith's like, I'm not even playing around. I'm going to get the first inning home run. Gosh, this is hard for me, right? Because I'm a Red Sox fan. Everyone knows I'm a Red Sox fan. But, I mean, give me Aaron Judge to go yard today. Oh, gosh. All right. Threw up in my mouth for a second. We're good. Back. I'm just kidding. I like the Yankees today. I think they have a lot of upside. Under 4K. My bad. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's a cheap bet that you like today?
I like the Dodgers a lot today. James Outman looks like he's coming out of this early season funk. I think he's a good hitter. Still 3,700 against Louis Varland. I'll take him.
Yeah, I think it's a really positive sign that he went yard. really good sign for him anyway. So yeah, I don't mind that at all. I mean, I wish I knew if Conforto was going to play or not. This guy has kind of started the season super awful, but give me Yaz for the Giants today.
Yeah, love those Giants lefties.
I think it's a really good spot, man. Like, if he doesn't hit today, like, I just think it's a huge problem for this team. Stack to score 6 or more runs. Who is getting the job done today?
Yeah, Arizona's obviously really popular today in Coors.
You can't pick Coors.
No, I know, but I was just saying I'm going to pick somebody who's often chalky, like the Dodgers, but I don't think their ownership's going to be out of control. It wasn't on Monday night. I don't think it will be on Tuesday night either because Arizona's in such an awesome spot in Coors. So play some low-owned Dodgers bats for sure. They won't be super low-owned. But
yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll be chalky. Yeezy says Williams is mowing the Giants down. Is he?
Interesting.
He has 2 Ks. All right. I mean, he's pitching well. I would love to see Jung Ho get another hit off him. That'd be great. Stack to score 6 or more runs. There's so many today. So many good stacks. Just, gosh, I mean, pick one, right? Give me Texas against Alex Wood to get the job done today. I said that he's going to hit it, but I wanted to pick him in the game. Oh, well, I forgot. I wanted Wyatt Langford for the home run. There wasn't any. I didn't see any player props up. I didn't see any at all. I looked through and didn't see any. Did you see anything that you wanted to bring up as far as player props?
No, there's nothing out. I will tell you that I'm waiting to pounce on 2, and that's if Tyler Glasnow gets posted at 7.5. I love that over. I'd be semi-interested at 8.5, but I think 7.5 is the number I really want. And then Cole Reagans, I think, like, the books have given him no respect. I think the strikeout prop should be 5.5 here. If it's 4.5, I'm going to be on that.
One that you could look at, and depending on, like, I think it comes in potentially at 4.5. If it does, pound this one. This is not a game that we talked about, but Casey Mize is getting Pittsburgh in the morning. It's like a 12:30 matinee game. If Mize comes in at like 4.5 strikeouts, jump all over that. There's a lot of strikeouts this season in this Pirates lineup. So watch that Mize line in the morning. I think that is one we could potentially jump on here. Also kind of want to see what Sandoval's at strikeout-wise. I'm really interested in him. And the other one that I wanted to bring up was Eovaldi's outs. So that's another one that I don't hate in this one, depending on where it comes in at.
18.5, you're good, or you need 17.5 for Eovaldi?
I feel really good about 17.5.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
Like 6 innings. Yep. I feel like really good about 17.5. So that's the ones that I had written down. We gave out the Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot. Is there any other bets that you like here today?
That's the one that jumped off the page. I don't often bet sides in MLB, but that one just jumped off the page to me. I'm like, what? Why is Zach Wheeler a minus? It's down to minus 125 on DK. I'm looking at it right now. Like, I do not understand that one at all. Philly's the better team. Zach Wheeler's the better pitcher. And Sonny Gray is on a pitch count. So I don't understand that one at all.
Yeah, I mean, take advantage of it when you can, right? Yep. The other one that I liked here is the Dodgers minus a half a run. Blackman just hit a home run. Shocking. Dodgers minus a half a run in the first 5. So it's minus 110, like the Dodgers first 5 minus half a run. So they got to be leading after 5 by a run. It's Glasnow against Varlin. I think that the Dodgers get out to an early lead in this game. So really like the Dodgers first 5 spread at a half. And like,
love that call.
I think I might sprinkle Dodgers minus 1.5 at plus 160. I think the Dodgers are going to get up in this game. So yeah, I mean, I like the Dodgers first 5. So Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Fun slate. I think pitching's a little better than it was Monday night, and offense is loaded again. So excited about this one. Yeah.
ready. I'm excited. I'm on premium content on Tuesdays, and I can't wait to build lineups today. It's such a fun slate. So appreciate everyone hanging out. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the RotoGrinders Morning Grind YouTube page. We are off to a really strong start for baseball season. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us here on YouTube. We're back tomorrow talking baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.